Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever needed to find something specific, like really fast, in a huge pile of information? Think about how a computer manages that. Today, we're diving into the world of standard algorithms. These are those brilliant common solutions to problems that just keep popping up in computing.
Exactly. And it's really more than just programming code. It's about a structured way of thinking, a way to solve problems that you see again and again, across different situations.
Right. So our mission today in this deep dive is to get a handle on what these standard algorithms actually are. And then we're going to zoom right in on a really fundamental one, linear search. Specifically, we'll look at how it works when you just need to check if something exists in a bunch of data. So we hear algorithms thrown around all the time. But what actually makes an algorithm standard? Is it just, a fancy name for instructions?
Yeah, that's a great question to start with. Think of it like this. Any algorithm is basically a collection of instructions issued to the computer to solve particular problems. That's the core definition. But what makes them standard is, well, they are used often and in many different situations. They are the tried and true methods, the recipes, if you like.
So these are the reusable building blocks, the things programmers grab off the shelf instead of figuring it out from scratch every single time.
Precisely. You wouldn't invent a new way to hammer a nail every time you build something, right? You use a hammer. Standard algorithms are like that digital hammer.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So it avoids reinventing the wheel. Can you give us a few examples of these common problems they solve? What else is in that standard toolkit?
Oh, absolutely. Besides searching, which we'll get to, think about validating user input, making sure an email address looks like an email address or that a number falls within a certain range. That's a standard task.
Okay, yeah, I see that everywhere.
Or calculating a running total, like adding up items in a shopping cart as you go, or simply traversing an array. That just means going through every single item in a list, maybe to display them or modify them somehow.
So just looking at everything in order.
Exactly. And actually, the linear search we're focusing on today, it's really just an enhanced way of traversing an array, looking for something specific as you go. We also have standard ways to count how many times something appears or find the biggest or smallest value in a set of data. Think finding the highest score or the lowest price. They're foundational.
Really foundational stuff. Okay, so let's zoom in then. Linear search. What's its main job? And, how does it actually do it? What's the core mechanic?
At its heart, a linear search algorithm finds if an item exists in an array or array of records by stepping through each location in the array in turn. It's a very straightforward step-by-step process. No skipping ahead, no clever tricks, just one item after the other.
Stepping through each location sounds simple, almost basic. But how does that actually play out? Are there different flavors of linear search depending on what you need?
Yes, exactly. The basic stepping through idea is the same, but you use it slightly differently based on the question you're asking. Generally, there are two main ways you apply it. The first one, which is our focus today, is just identifying if an item exists. Does it exist? Yes or no? True or false? That's it.
Okay, just a simple yes/no.
Right. And the second way is identifying the location of an item. So not just if it exists, but where it is in the array, like its index number.
Got it. So existence versus location. Today, we're on existence.
Yeah.
Okay, to make this really clear for you listening, let's imagine a simple scenario. Picture a row of, say, 10 cards, face down, numbered 0 through 9. And each card has a value. Let's say index 0 has A, index 1 has B, index 2 has C, and so on, right up to index 9 having J. Makes sense.
Yep, simple sequence.
Now, the crucial rule is you can only flip over one card at a time, and you must go in order. Start at 0, then 1, then 2. So if you wanted to find out if the card with the value C is anywhere in that row, how would you do it using this method? You'd look at card 0. Is it C? Nope, it's A. Move on. Look at card 1. Is it C? No, B. Keep going. Look at card 2. Is it C? Ah, yes, it is C.
Bingo.
Right. And at that exact moment, you found it. You know it exists. You don't need to check cards 3 through 9. Your job is done.
That's the essence of the exists linear search. You stop the moment you get a yes.
Okay, that card analogy really helps. Now, when programmers actually write the code for this linear search to see if an item exists,
Yeah.
they use specific variables to keep track of things. Can you walk us through the key ones? What are their roles in this process?
Certainly. Let's think from the code's perspective. You'll typically see these. First, narrate. That's just the data itself, the whole collection you're searching through. Our row of cards, basically.
Well, this, yeah.
Then end to find. That's the value you're actually looking for. In the analogy, it was C.
The target. Okay.
Then there's usually something called end found. This is super important. It's a Boolean variable.
Meaning true or false?
Exactly. It acts like a flag. Before you start searching, you set and found to false because, well, you haven't found it yet.
Makes sense. Innocent until proven found.
Huh, something like that. And then, if and when you do find the item during the search, you immediately flip that and found flag to true.
Okay, so it signals success. What else?
And finally, you need a way to track where you are in the array as you step through it. Often, a variable, let's call it n, holds the current index or position you're looking at. It starts at 0, then becomes 1, then 2, and so on.
So n is the card number you're currently flipping over.
Precisely. And the core logic is usually a loop. The loop uses n to check each item in an array. Inside the loop, it asks, does the item at position n equal n to find? If the answer is yes, bam, set n found to true. And crucially for this exists version, the loop often has a condition that says, hey, if n found is now true, stop looping.
Because there's no point looking anymore. You already know it exists.
Exactly. Efficiency matters, even in simple searches. Why keep looking if you've found what you need?
It sounds very methodical, very computer-like, almost relentless in its checking. But what are the downsides? What are the implications of this approach, especially if you're dealing with, like, tons of data?
That's a really important question. While it's simple and works well often, there's a key limitation of the linear search algorithm, which uses a conditional loop. It will only return the position of the first occurrence of the search item. Or rather, for our exists check, it only confirms existence based on that first find.
Meaning if C was on card 2 and card 7.
This basic exists check would find it at card 2, set n found to true, stop, and it would never even know about the C at card 7.
Okay, so it finds an instance, not necessarily all instances.
Correct. If you needed to find all of them, or the last one, you'd tweak the algorithm, maybe use a different kind of loop that always checks every single item, regardless of finding one early on. And the other big implication relates to size, like you said, performance.
Right, the efficiency.
In the worst case scenario, imagine searching for something that isn't actually in the list or something that happens to be the very last item.
You have to check everything.
You have to check every single item. If you have a million items, you might have to do a million comparisons. So the time it takes scales up directly or linearly with the number of items. We call that ON, complexity in computer science.
Yep.
N being the number of items.
So fine for short lists, but potentially slow for massive ones.
Exactly. For small data sets, it's often perfectly fine, even fast, because it's so simple. But as n gets really big, that linear time can start to hurt.
That's a great clarification. Simple isn't always fastest for big jobs. Okay, so let's bring this home for the listener. You might be thinking, okay, interesting, computers looking at cards one by one, but why should I care?
Yeah, why does this matter if you're not coding? Well, because this seemingly basic idea, it's humming away under the hood in so much of the tech you use constantly. Every time you, say, type a contact name into your phone's search bar, or search for a specific song title in your huge music library, or check if a username is already taken when signing up for a website.
Or even just using Find in a document.
Absolutely, especially in smaller documents. At some level, a search algorithm is running. Often, for simpler tasks or smaller data sets, it might be a linear search or something very close to it. Understanding it gives you a little insight into how your devices find information. It helps explain why some searches are instant and others take a moment. It also hints at why organizing data smartly is so important. If data is organized better, maybe you don't need to look at everything one by one. It's about grasping the basic logic driving the digital tools we rely on.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not just abstract code. It's the reason my phone finds mom instantly, but searching a giant website takes longer. Okay, so to recap, we've unpacked standard algorithms, those essential, reusable problem solvers in computing, and we took a real deep dive into the linear search, specifically its job of just confirming if an item exists in the list by checking one by one.
Yep. It's a fundamental concept, a real building block for understanding how computers sift through data systematically.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on. We just talked about how linear search checks every single item one by one and how that can get slow for huge data sets. Now imagine you needed to find one specific word in an entire massive dictionary, or maybe find one specific book in the Library of Congress, the biggest library in the world. Checking every single word or every single book one by one would take forever, right?
Absolutely impractical.
So how might programmers devise a smarter, much more efficient way to find what they're looking for in situations like that without looking at every single entry? What kind of clever shortcuts or organizing principles could possibly exist for those giant scale problems? Think about that. Join us next time for another deep dive.